Good to be here this morning. Good to see everyone here today. Always a blessing, always a privilege to be able to bring a portion of God's Word. Got some new glasses. I hope they're going to work for me this morning. I'm not sure if they go out far enough. A little bit blurry, but the question this morning that I want to ask is, why did God create man? A very thought-provoking, very deep question. Why did God create man? Who am I? Why am I here? These are great questions that man has asked himself for thousands of years. For the man who does not know God, for the man who does not know his word, he'll never be able to answer those questions until he does. To ask why am I here implies that there must be a reason for me being here. As Christians, of course, we believe that we were created by God. We believe that we were made in His image. But still, we might ask, why did God create me? Why did God create mankind? Most of the time I hear that question asked, it's asked by young Christians or even children. And yet, it's a very thought-provoking, very deep question. And Alice and I have had some deep discussions and even disagreements on this thought. God created mankind knowing that most of them were going to sin against Him, that most of them were going to turn away from Him, and that most of them were going to suffer eternal punishment in hell, and yet He created man. As we ponder this question, we have to keep in mind that it's not possible for our feeble minds to understand all of the purposes of God. In fact, God makes it very clear in His Word that we will not understand His purpose in everything. In Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, there it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been His counselor? Who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." We can only understand what God has revealed to us in His Word. In Deuteronomy 29, and verse 29, it states, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." God has not revealed all things to us in His Word, but He has revealed to us absolutely everything that we need to know. Everything that we need to know to be right with Him and to know that we can spend eternal salvation with Him in heaven. Concerning the question as to why did God create man, there are many different scriptures that we can consider in His Word. Now, some have assumed that God was lonely or God needed our companionship in some way. But God is God. God does not need anything. God is eternal. He has forever existed. He eternally existed without man up until just several thousand years ago. Some have suggested that God created the angels and mankind because He had a need to love and a need to be loved. But God does not need anything. He does not need to love. He does not need to be loved. He has eternally been the God of love, if you think about it. In 1 John 4 and verse 8, it says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And if you think about it, God has eternally loved and He has eternally been loved because love has forever existed among the Godhead, among the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Jesus said in His prayer to the Father in John 17 and verse 24, He said, "Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which You have given Me, for You loved Me before the foundation of the world." It's a New King James version there. There was love among the Godhead before the creation. In all of eternity, God never felt any loneliness or any need for anything. Whether we ever existed or not, God would still be God. He is still the one true God. And God, of course, does not change, Malachi 3 in verse 6. In fact, if God were to change in any way, he would no longer be God. If you have absolute perfection and you change it in some way, then you no longer have absolute perfection. And God is absolute perfection, and he has not changed, nor will he ever change. Amen. So it's not as if God became lonely, or God became dissatisfied, or that God needed mankind in any way. God does not need anything from man. But on the other hand, man does need God, and we completely and totally depend on him. In Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25, it says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. We completely depend on God for our life. Amen. We depend on him for our very breath. We depend on him for all things. Colossians 1 and verse 17 says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Do you ever stop and think about that? How God is holding everything together right now as we sit here? The sun wouldn't have came up this morning if God wasn't in control. We'd have no light right now if God wasn't in control. We'd have no air to breathe. Our hearts would not be beating if God was not in control. He is holding all things together as we speak. And so God did not need man in any way, but God did want to create man. And this might be the simplest answer to our question, why did God create man? Because he wanted to create man. It was his will to create man. Bill had this in his article this morning, Revelation 4 and verse 11. There it says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and they were created. And that verse right there actually packs a lot in it. You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power. There we're going to see part of the reason God created man. And by your will they exist and were created. So God's will was to create man. And so he did. On the last day of creation, God created man. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. There God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So we notice right off the bat in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. The us is referring to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which has eternally existed. But notice also that we're made in God's image. We were created after his likeness. Man was the pinnacle of God's creation. Man is unique in all of his creation. Man is unlike the animals. He is unlike the rest of God's creation. Man was made in the image of God. He was created to be like God in some ways. Think about that. We are like God in some ways. Now, this has nothing to do with our physical likeness. We know that God is not a physical being. We know that God is a spirit. John 4 and verse 24. We also are not just physical beings, we are spiritual beings. We have been given the ability to reason. We have been given the ability to communicate with God, the ability to know God, to love God, to worship Him, to serve Him, and to have fellowship with Him. God has given us a sense of morality, a sense of justice. Mankind has a conscience, and we have the ability to know the difference between right and wrong, to know that something is morally right or is morally wrong. And God has given us the free will to choose between that which is right and that which is wrong. And so man is far more than just another animal, as the evolutionists teach. That is a wicked and an evil lie. We have been made in the image of God, and we have been given dominion over the earth. Genesis 1 and verse 28. And so in a way, this answers, who am I? I am a creation of God. I am made in the image of God. I am a spiritual being that has far more than the rest of creation. We are very special. We are unique in God's creation. We've been given a spirit, and our spirit is going to live on forever. Think about that. All of you are going to live on forever. The question is, where will it be? Well, will it be in heaven with your Creator, or will it be in hell, eternally separated from your Creator? We know this earth and everything on it that God has given us dominion over, it's going to be burned up. It's going to be gone. 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 13. So it was obviously God's will that we be created. We were created for Him. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and created for Him." So we were created for God. But now for what purpose? In other words, why am I here? The answer to that may be found in Isaiah 43 and verse 7. In Isaiah 43 and verse 7, it says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory." We have been created for God's glory. He says, "I have formed you, yea, I have made him." So this indicates that man was created for the glory of God. But who is it specifically that will bring glory to God? Men and nations who are called by His name will bring glory to Him. David wrote in Psalm 86, verses 9 through 12. Psalm 86, verses 9 through 12. He said, "All nations whom Thou hast made shall come and worship before Thee, O Lord, and shall glorify Thy name. For Thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me Thy way, O Lord, I will walk in Thy truth. Unite my heart to fear Thy name. I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore." Who is it today that is called by the name of God? Who is it today that brings glory to God? Christians. We wear the name of Christ. We bring glory to God if we're living the Christian life. James 2 and verse 7 speaks about those who blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called. This apparently speaking about the name Christian. In Acts chapter 11 verse 26, the second part of that verse says the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed," but notice what he says here, "let him glorify God on this behalf." Christians glorify God when they wear His name and when they do the good works that He has called them to do. And that is our purpose for being here. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So the Christian is to live a life that brings glory to God. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20 says, "You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Your body and your spirit both belong to God, and you are to bring glory to God with both. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." When we wear the name of God, when we call ourselves Christians, when we do the good works that God has called us to do, then we not only glorify him ourselves, but we also can have an effect on those around us. We also can cause others to glorify God. In Matthew 5 and verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven." We are to be an example to others. We are to cause others to glorify God. And what better example is there for us to follow as Christians than to follow that of Christ himself? We call ourselves Christians. We are to follow Christ. We are to be like Christ. Christ's greatest desire was to please his Father and to glorify him and to complete the works that he sent him to do. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, he said, "My meat," or my substance, "is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Can we say that today? Can we say that our meat, our substance, is to do the will of God? In John chapter 8 and verse 29, he said, "He that has sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Jesus said, "I'm always doing the things that please God." And that's something that we should strive to do, to always be pleasing to God. God was very well pleased with Jesus. He was very well pleased with the works that he did. In Matthew 17 and verse 5, he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Jesus did his Father's will. He finished the work that his Father called him to do, and he glorified his Father in heaven by doing so. In John 17 and verse 4, he said, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And just as the Father was pleased with his Son when he glorified him, so will God also be pleased with us when we do his will and when we glorify his name. Psalm 147 and verse 11 says, "The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy." So why did God create man? It wasn't because he was lonely. It wasn't because he needed to love or to be loved. It wasn't because he needed man to glorify him, because we can't literally add anything to his glory. We can't add anything to his essence. God doesn't need anything from man. It's man that needs everything from God. But at the same time, God wanted to create us. And so he did. God created us for his pleasure. And he takes pleasure in those who wear his name. He takes pleasure in those who glorify him through their good works. Think about how powerful that is. You can bring pleasure to the creator of the universe. You can bring pleasure to God Almighty. So you might say we've been created for God's glory and for good works to bring pleasure to God. And that is certainly true of the faithful Christian. Amen. Now, isn't it amazing to think that God Almighty, the eternal creator, takes pleasure in us? To think that God Almighty takes pleasure in you as an individual. That's a pretty amazing thing to contemplate. You know, I can't help but think of Psalm 8. Psalm 8. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. who has set the glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than God, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. When we look at the universe around us, last night I was laying in bed, and our window is just perfect where we can see the full moon about the time I go to bed. And I just lay there and I look at the moon and the clouds passing in front of it. And think about God Almighty, the creator of this universe. We stand in awe of him who made everything. As we read Psalm 8, we can picture David looking up at the night sky and gazing at the moon and the stars and wondering how a God who is so awesome, who is so powerful, could be mindful of him, could be mindful of mankind. It's amazing that not only he chose to create us, but that he made us in his image and that he crowned us with glory and honor. And even more amazing than that is the fact that he loved mankind enough that he was willing to send his only begotten Son to die for them. God did not need man in any way. He created him knowing that he would sin against him and knowing that his Son would have to be sent to suffer for him. God himself, Christ Jesus, came down to this earth and became one of us so that he could take our sins upon himself and purchase us with his own blood. We all know Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. I'm going to read it again for you. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How amazing is it that God came to this earth and became one of us? God came to this earth and served us and died for us so that we could live with him forever. It pleased the Father to bruise his Son. It pleased the Father to give him as a sacrifice for our sin, Isaiah 53 and verse 10. So there can be no doubt that God loves mankind. There can be no doubt that he desires for us to spend eternity with him. Jesus talked about going and preparing a place for us so that we could be there with him. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Isn't it amazing to think that God is looking forward to, he's going to take pleasure in us living with him for all eternity? On the other hand, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Ezekiel 18:23, he desires all men to be saved. He desires all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, but he has given man the free will to choose. We can die in our sin, we can live with the wicked, or we can choose to take those steps that lead to our salvation, to the washing away of our sins. God created man for his pleasure, and we please him when we bring glory and honor to his name through obedience to his word and his will. And so I hope we've somewhat answered those questions from the scriptures. Why did God create man? Who am I and why am I here? This morning, are you living a life that is pleasing to God? Are you living a life that's bringing glory to God? Have you even obeyed his gospel? Have you been washed by the blood of the Lamb? Have you repented of your sins, confessed your faith, and been baptized into Christ? If you have, are you remaining faithful? Are you bringing glory and honor to his name? Because you have been created for that purpose. If there is a need this morning, if there's anything we can do to help you, you can come forward as we stand and as we sing.